Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair. Lead me in thy righteousness, bowing down toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows, Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the epistle of Paul to the Philippians and there of the fourth chapter, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. And now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we may humbly thank and acknowledge thee that thou hast brought us and our children out of the old year, brought us into the new. We stand on the threshold thereof. Grant an impression how dependent we are upon thee for everything. The apostle has written in thy word, in him we live, we move, and have our being. Thou grants our heartbeat, thou grants our breath. When thou remove with thy hand, then we are no more. Lord, may thou remember us and our children in this new year, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Do visit us with thy salvation. When we stand on the beginning of another year, then there can be many fears, many concerns, many impossibilities can be, that there are those that are overwhelmed, and to that end, may we be found more to be beggars at thy throne of grace. And by nature then we are not such that true begging and that true pleading, that is a gift which thy dear Son has merited for his people, and which he grants by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, then we humbly ask thee, in so far that it may please thee, to be mindful of us and our children. Thou hast taught thy church to pray for their daily bread. May we be given to see oftentimes thy hand therein, that we may be given to see it as Peter has done when the nets were so full of fishes. And Lord, when thou granteth prosperity, may we not forget thee, and may it not be for a further departing from thy word and from thy institutions, but may it be by thy grace, according to thy holy word, where the apostle has written, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. When thou sendeth trials, when thou sendeth afflictions, wilt thou keep us that we become overly discouraged even from despair. Oh, wilt thou graciously watch over the youngest to the oldest. Bless the labors of our hands. Remember the mothers in the home with the children. Wilt thou remember the unborn. Remember the fathers with the earning of their daily bread. Lord, we shall all come through the time, the one a little easier, the other with more difficulties, but we shall all come through the time, and then we shall come into eternity. And to that end, Lord, above all things, we humbly beg of Thee, for a rich outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children. May Thy word richly be blessed to that end. The prophet has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ah, wilt thou grant unto us as a people that we may be given to repent and turn from our evil and worldly ways and turn unto thee, the living God. May it be a year of many conversions, that sinners may be pricked in the heart, but remember also thy Zion. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their condition. May they be given to experience oftentimes what we have heard in the past night and the multitude of those thoughts concerning the Lord, His wonderful ways in providence and the ways of grace. That thy comforts shall delight my soul. Wilt thou pour out in a richer measure the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving, that we forget not all thy blessings, that the praises may arise unto thee. Thou art so worthy to receive all the honor and all the glory, O Lord. Do a great work amongst us. Let us not harden our heart. May thou glorify thy name amongst us and our children, and that thy church may be more the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Wilt thou remember the consistory to that end, with their weighty task, who is sufficient unto these things? May they be carried upon the wings of prayer. Bless the labors on the Sabbath day. Bless the labors during the week, with the instruction of our youth and with the visitation. Bless also the labors in the family circles to that end. We live in a time where in the world that the love of many is waxing cold, but wilt thou grant that love may abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children, and that the simple instruction in the midst of the family circles, that it may bear a rich fruit. Thou wast promised to work from generation to generation. Wilt thou remember and bless our Christian school? May we be given to see it as a gift from Thee, and that the labors may be blessed, when thy word may be daily opened. Remember the school board. Remember the administration. Remember the teachers, the bus drivers, all those that labor in and with the school. And that should include all of us. May it please thee in this year to grant more labors in thy vineyard, and that thou may incline hearts of our youth to study for teacher. We remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all thy servants, and then we commend the widow and family in the Netherlands. A word has pleased thee to take another one of thy servants out of thy church here below. Wilt thou remember in the coming days when they are called upon to go to the cemetery? Wilt thou remember all the widows of thy servants, also the widow of thy servant, who has labored in this congregation for many years? He is above all the strife, and we are still in the militant church. We commend unto thee our theological school, the instructors and the students. May they be taught from above. Remember the persecuted church. Then we may be given to see also in our country the handwriting on the wall that persecution is at hand, and our Lord, who shall then be enabled to stand? That shall only be possible with thy help and with thy grace. Because the psalmist has said, the Lord reigneth, the king sitteth on the throne, and from thence he is gathering and preserving his church. We remember all mission work. Remember our mission field, thy servants, and the team. Wilt thou encourage them? May they be given to see many fruits upon their labors. It is the danger in our time that in the midst of thy church, those that are called to labor therein, that they become overly discouraged. But may their eyes be upon thee. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. We lay before thee the many needs, the mourning ones in our midst, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the grave. At the beginning of another year, wilt thou place underneath thy everlasting arms. In the day of tomorrow, our second oldest member, an old widow, when she hopes to remember that thou was added another year unto her years, the first time as a widow, Lord, wilt thou remember her? Then we commend unto thee our care home, all the residents. Also in this past year, then part of that family circle has been taken away. Thou wast sent the angel of death many times O wilt thou remember those that care for them? O wilt thou remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life above all? Do save their never-dying souls. Remember all the sick, all the afflicted. Remember the father in the hospital together with his family in this day. Remember all the burdens. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones with those that care for them? Wilt thou remember above all their never-dying souls? We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. May it please thee that they may come to themselves with that prodigal out of the scriptures, and then he has returned to his father, Lord. Wilt thou remember us in this year, when it shall be the year of our death? May we be prepared. We need to be converted. We need, as a poor sinner, to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, we humbly ask of thee for thy gracious help in this morning hour. Wilt thou grant sires at thy throne, remember all those that could not come up to thy house in this morning hour, also when they may listen along, a grand blessing. But, oh Lord, do remember all those that have come up, and thou knowest most perfectly how we have come up. Oh, wilt thou grant those living desires after the living God. Lord, on the beginning of another year, then our blessings are great, and they are manifold. May we be given to acknowledge thee, but also our needs. They are so numerous. Ah, the hidden crosses, they are all known unto thee, but also our sins. Then we have to confess that thou would be righteous if thou would pass us by. But, O Lord, then the disciples of old have said, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life to that end. May it please thee to grant a rich and a blessed year within the walls of thy house, for us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 431, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. Unto God our King, a joy and strength of Israel, a lofty anthem sing, a glorious are his ways, to his name give praise, with the harp and timbrel, and what follows, Psalter 81, 1, 4, 5, and 6. beloved congregation of Pitcher Butte, consistory, custodians, the doorkeepers of God's house, the organist that may lead the singing, all those that may help with the service, the Bethesda Care Home with the residents, and those that care for them, the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, our Christian school, the school board, all those that labor therein, and the students, all the organizations and committees pertaining to church and school, the family circles. Then we all wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing for the year of the Lord 2020. Then we wish to thank you for the many tokens of love and the good wishes for the new year. When we stand on the threshold of another new year, then surely, then our thoughts multiply. For us and our children, the future is hidden. But we know that the Lord has the future in His hands. When we look within, then there is no hope and no expectation. When we look around us, then many fears must fill our heart. When it is becoming evident that the world is becoming old, bold and cold, the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the clouds of heaven, in the midst of the church, let us not forget that the Lord has left many good and precious things amongst us, and nevertheless many concerns where the gold has become dim. And therefore may we be given in this morning hour to look above, and may it be experienced that our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. The Lord uphold all the mourning ones. The Lord remember the ones, those that have come burdened up to God's house under the different circumstances of life. You may fill it in this morning. May the Lord be your helper ever near. May it please the Lord to provide the daily bread for our family circles, where it costs much to raise a family. When the Lord grants blessings and prosperity, may it not bring us further from the Word of God. We are only stewards, stewards for a time, and stewards that must give an account. Congregation, we shall all come through the time, the one a little easier, the other one with more difficulties. But we shall all come to the end of life's journey. And to that end, what is the most important? Boys and girls, older ones in our midst, then the Lord grant at this time here below that we may be prepared to meet our Maker. And to that end, May the prayers be multiplied. And may the Lord pour upon us the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving, that we may be given to cry mightily unto the God of all grace, that he may do a great work amongst us. Ah, that it may be a year that many boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that they may be wrought upon and may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, to learn what sinners we are, but also to experience that hope and that faith. And may it be a year for the children of God. Oh, a good year for their souls, to be given to experience what we have heard in the past evening hour out of Psalm 94, and the multitude of those thoughts concerning the precious things of the Lord, and that thy comforts may delight my soul. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Philippians 4, the verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our text words speak of Paul's exhortation to the church concerning their manifold cares, with three thoughts. In the first place, a tender counsel concerning our cares. In the second place, the prescribed remedy of prayer and thanksgiving. And in the third place, a promised peace through Jesus Christ. Paul's exhortation to the church concerning their manifold cares. A tender counsel concerning our cares, because we read, be careful for nothing. The prescribed remedy of prayer and thanksgiving, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the promised blessing through Jesus Christ, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beloved congregation, then it is very evident from the epistle which the apostle has written to the church of the Philippians, that church had a special place in his heart. He has come to Philippi in a special and remarkable way. On the second missionary journey of the apostle Paul, Then we read in Acts 16 that he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Asia, and also not allowed to go north to Bithynia. Oh, what a puzzle and a strange way for the Apostle Paul. A call to preach to the Gentiles, and then he has come to Troas. And then he has received that vision from that man in Macedonia, come over and help us. After 2 days, he has come to Neapolis, and then 8 miles north, there was the city of Philippi. Then surely you would think, with such a clear calling, that there would be a congregation awaiting for the apostle. But that was not the case. And then on the Sabbath day, then he has come to the river where there were a few women, where prayer was wont to be made. May there be much prayer in this year amongst us and our children. And then the apostle was given to preach, and the heart of Lydia was opened, and then we read of her and of her household. And then we read of a damsel that has given much fortune to her master, but the devil was cast out, and then there came an uproar of Paul and Silas in prison in the stocks. They have sang the praises of the Lord in that prison. The Lord has sent an earthquake. And then we read of the jailer and of his household that they were saved. Oh, fathers and mothers, may we be given to ask great things of the Lord. We have not deserved anything. Thus, for the Apostle Paul has not been in that place for such a long time. We do not know exactly how long, but special blessings. Ah, that is the most important. Also in this year, that the means of grace may be blessed in the church, in the family circles, and in the school. When the apostle has written this epistle, he was in prison the first time in Rome, believed to be approximately the year 62 after the birth of Christ. Then Epaphroditus, as one of the men of the leaders of that church, has went to Rome, brought a gift to Paul. He has become sick, and now he has returned with his epistle. And now our text words, then the apostle is given to admonish, after a few other texts, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Thus the apostle has exhorted the church. It does not mean that there were no difficulties. It is the church militant, but they may be given to rejoice in the Lord and in his wonderful works, which is wrought in the heart of his church, by the work of the Holy Spirit, a virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, to be given to rejoice, that the King sits at the right hand of the Father. The psalmist in Psalm 93 has declared that the Lord reigneth, to be given to rejoice that the church, that it is not man's cause, not the apostles' cause, but it is the Lord's cause, and it is His glory. Then further let your moderation be known unto all men. That word that especially refers to gentleness, but in the context, then it points to the church, to a simple and a moderate life. A necessary exhortation in the time that we live, with much prosperity, and that the world is given to live it out. That the world says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And then the apostle has added, the Lord is at hand. Interpreted, can be interpreted in two ways. That the Lord is everywhere present, and that also that the King shall come to judge the quick and the dead, and to that end, and not to put our stakes too deep into this earth. Because there shall come a time that we shall have to die, and those that are still living when Christ appears, they shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And then be careful for nothing. What does the apostle mean with that exhortation? Sometimes there are people, boys and girls, young people and older ones, under certain circumstances, that they say, I don't care. May we be prevented from saying those words, because we have our responsibility and we have our duty in the place that the Lord has placed us. And let us add, may it please the Lord to keep us and our children, that we become overly discouraged, nigh to despair, and that we even become careless. Oh, then upon this earth, how difficult and how impossible that the way may be. And the ways can be so difficult and so overwhelming. But if we may be given to consider our life, then there are always good things that the Lord has left amongst us. Thus, when the Apostle Paul writes to that church that had such a special place in his heart, be careful for nothing, then we must first say a few words of what the Apostle does not mean. It does not mean that we do not have to be careful concerning our temporal life. We have a duty. We have a responsibility. We read in the Word of God in Romans 12, verse 12, and not slothful in business. Christ has spoken, when we build a tower, we must count the cost. Solomon in Proverbs 30, the verses 24 through 28, has given the examples of four little animals and also of the ants that prepare their meat in the summer, also a spiritual meaning, but also a temporal meaning. We read in Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no wisdom, no knowledge, no power in the grave where thou goest. And Christ has said in John 9, verse 4, that the night shall come when no man shall work. Thus, when the Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing, then he does not mean that we do not have to be careful, diligent. We each have our place. What a blessing it is when the Lord gives us a place in the family circle, in the church, in the school, in society. Then in the second place, when the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi, be careful for nothing, then he does not mean that we do not have to be careful and concerned about our never-dying souls, but that we are called upon to use the means great of grace faithfully with a prayer unto the living God, because young and old, what shall it be if we have a prosperous year concerning outward things and we lose our never-dying soul concerning our death? Then on Old Year's Eve, then we think much, or I hope so at least. I hope that has been in the past day, that we were given to think and remember our time, and that the end of our life shall come, that there can be solemn thoughts, deep impressions, that we have no continuing city. And then on New Year's morning, then it can be that those solemn thoughts are gone and that we begin the new year and that we live as if this is our abiding place, as if this is our eternity. Christ has said in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his never-dying soul? Then in the third place, when the apostle exhorts the church, be careful for nothing, then he is not meaning that we do not have to be careful about our sins, because our sins, they are written in the book of God. And for each sin, let us remember that, congregation, sometime you receive the impression in the life of the unconverted that they think, I'm unconverted anyway, I'm lost. And it can even be in the way of discouragement that they say, my eternal home shall be hell, although they do not really believe it, because if we believe it, then it would become different. But that they have the impression it does not really make so much difference whether I commit more or less sins. But let us remember, congregation, for the sins which we do not commit, we shall not be punished. And I read in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sins shall find you out. When the apostle says, be careful for nothing, then he is not implying that we do not have to be careful concerning all the temptations of the time, because Christ has exhorted even the disciples that we must watch and pray. How necessary that we are given to do what our hand finds to do, and that many prayers send up for ourselves. The trouble is that evil within. The prayers for our fellow man, that it may please the Lord also in this year, that he may place a fiery wall around about us and our children. Then further, when the apostle writes, be careful for nothing, then he does not mean that there should not be concern concerning the condition of the church. In 1 Corinthians 11, when the apostle Paul is written to the church of his many trials, stoned, shipwrecked, many other difficulties, then he has added above all these things the cares of the church. Oh, in this year, may it be granted that there may be deep concerns concerning the welfare of Zion. Oh, the concerns concerning never dying souls. May there be that wrestling, that storming at the throne of grace, that it may please Almighty God to grant a richer outpouring of His Holy Spirit in the latter days of the earth. Then when the Apostle Paul writes, be careful for nothing, then he does not mean that we must not feel our sores. Think of Jesus. He has wept at the grave of Lazarus in John 11, verse 35. And in Luke 19, he has wept over Jerusalem. When the Apostle Paul is exhorting, is counseling the church of Philippi to be careful for nothing, then he is not implying that we may not use lawful means to remove our difficulties insofar that it pleases the Lord. But when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and then in his epistles, and then he is writing to the saints of God, to the people of God who have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. But then these epistles, they were read in the midst of the whole church. Thus that means to young and old, to the whole congregation. When he is writing, be careful for nothing, then he is implying that over-anxious care concerning the temporal needs. It is true how overwhelming they can be. But then the Apostle Paul, then he is implying the same matter, because when we read, be careful for nothing, then in the original we find the same word in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, the verses 25 through 34, take no thought for food, for raiment, for the day of tomorrow, for the day shall bring sufficient evil to itself. Thus then the Apostle Paul, then he is counseling the church against that great sin of unbelief. And what a great sin that is. Oh, for the child of God, then they are glad that prayer of that father is written in the Bible. In Mark 9, verse 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But let us remember that unbelief that is the greatest sin that dishonors God, then we have small thoughts of God. Then we question the attributes of God, whether God is almighty, whether God is merciful and kind, whether the Lord is wise, whether the Lord is faithful. And to that end, the admonition for the church, be careful for nothing. Then it can be that we are so over anxious, that we are so busy also with the temporal things. Do we not read in the parable of the sower that Christ has spoken of the seed that has fallen among stony ground, and that it is choked by the thistles, that it is choked by the pleasures and the cares of the world. Thus, when the apostle is exhorting the church, be careful for nothing, then he is exhorting the church to look on high unto the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. Then the apostle Paul is exhorting to the church to look unto the storehouses of the greater Joseph, which are so full. Then the apostle Paul is given to exhort the church to be given to remember the past, to consider the present. Do we not read in the Word of God in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Oh, when the apostle Paul is exhorting the church to be careful for nothing, and then they are calling the child of God to consider who the Lord has been, who the Lord is at the present, and that the Lord is unchangeable. Because they read in Malachi 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye children of Jacob, that ye are not consumed. Oh, be careful for nothing, for the children of Israel, when they have been led out of the land of Egypt, they have come to the Red Sea. But then the Lord has said unto Moses, that he must stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, for an Elijah, when he was sent to that brook, be careful for nothing, because I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Oh, for a David, when he was persecuted with a promise, to be careful for nothing, because the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus for his church. What a tender exhortation for the church of God. And then when we read our text, then what is necessary, congregation? Oh, it is true. It is an exhortation for all of us. In the Bible, there are many exhortations that come to the unconverted and to the converted. Then the Lord is calling unto all of us that we must be careful for nothing, that the Lord will provide for those who humbly are given to ask. Do we not have many examples of the unconverted? Think of the children of Israel when they had a king that obeyed the Lord, that bowed under the authority of God's word. Did the Lord then not provide for them? Oh, be careful for nothing. Oh, that is an admonition not to trust in our own strength and in our own wisdom. That is an admonition, because congregation, in our defallen Adam, then we have become a member of that organization that is called Help Yourself. And then what is striving there is also in our outward life concerning our daily bread. And then when we run stuck, when it becomes very difficult, then perhaps that we are given to ask the Lord, but that exhortation, be careful for nothing, that implies a life of prayer and thanksgiving. That is our second thought, but let us first sing. Psalter 401. And let us only sing 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord, his praise proclaim. And all my soul, bless thou his name. Yea, I will sound his praise abroad, and ever bless the Lord my God. 401, only 1 and 2. Paul's exhortation to the church concerning their manifold cares. A tender counsel concerning our cares. And now secondly, the prescribed remedy of prayer and thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul does not say that there are no cares. How great and manifold the cares are. Cares with childbirth. When a little child may come upon this world. What a cares at the end on a deathbed. And what a cares in between. All the cares of the congregation, how manifold they are. And then the secret crosses. But now the Apostle Paul, when he says be careful for nothing, then he gives a special command to the church of God. Then he tells them, what they must do with all their cares, because our cares to bear them alone, that is a burden too heavy to bear. Ah, the poor portion of the great multitudes in the world that have no place to go with their cares. And concerning our cares, and when I say it, congregation, then there is a voice that says, physician, heal thyself. John Newton, he has described it this way, in a very simple way. He says, for our life's journey, then the Lord grants a great pile of firewood before us that we have to carry through this life. But then he does not command, he does not lay that whole pile upon our shoulders at once, but he gives a log here and there to carry, and strength to carry the same. And now he says, if we have to carry the burdens of yesterday and to add them to the burdens of today, and to be so concerned about the burdens of tomorrow, that is a weight that is too heavy to carry. But now the apostle, then he says, but thus be careful for nothing, but in everything, thus not only in the big matters, but in everything, may it please the Lord to grant that tender life, a life bound at the throne of grace, that for the smallest things that we need the Lord. Oh, people of God, when you think of that first time, how close a life there was, that you needed the Lord for everything, and how is it now? And then the apostle admonishes in prayer. Oh, what an exhortations in the Bible. Oh, what a promises and what an examples concerning prayer. But now true prayer, that is a gift from above. The Lord has a people upon the earth that may experience the spirit of prayer and of supplication. The Apostle Paul, that Apostle Paul, who has learned to pray in truth and uprightness on that way to Damascus, and that the Lord said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. Then he has written to the Romans, for the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. 'Tis a gift, a fruit of the thanking and praying high priest at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles, the disciples have asked the Lord in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And that is now so necessary. In the year which we have begun, has there been a little begging? In this morning, our boys and girls, what have you all asked the Lord for in this morning hour? What was the most important? We need many blessings. You have to ask the Lord that he helps you to be obedient to your parents, that you may help them. But a prayer for a new heart, But then we need the work of the Spirit. Nevertheless, those exhortations, they come to all of us. We have examples in the Bible where the Lord has also heard the prayers of the unconverted. In prayer, we must keep it short in this morning, but prayer and supplication, those words, they are very closely related. Many times, different times, used together, even concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems in the original that there may still be a little separation, that word of supplication, that it points more to a particular request, thus a fervent prayer. What is our request in this morning, our congregation? It is true, there can be many earthly desires, not wrong. The Lord has said, acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct all thy paths. But now in the way of supplication can be a special need, a special cross, a special difficulty, you may multiply it out. Oh, if we would go from bench to bench, then how much we would hear that there is a special request that may please the Lord, that he may remove that difficulty, help in the family circles, prodigal sons and daughters, you may multiply it out by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thus, not only prayer, it is true, the Lord only grants one heaven to his people, but they are given to experience the foretastes here below. But as a general rule, they are special times when our prayers, when it may be more thanksgiving than prayer. But most of the petitions, but let us not excuse ourselves. Many of our prayers, so little thanksgiving, and the Lord is so worthy to be served. And the apostle has written to the Ephesians 5 verse 20, given thanks for all things always, the name unto the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With thanksgiving, let your request in the singular be made known unto God. Our third thought, the promised peace through Jesus Christ. Then even verse 7, that is more a separating text that separates the children of God from the unconverted, because the apostle has added that promise, and the peace of God. By nature, then we are enemies of the Lord, Romans 8 verse 7. The carnal mind is at enmity against God, and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Then the law condemns, the justice of God that curses us. But now the Apostle Paul and the peace of God, and that in a twofold sense, in the way of grace, then that peace is given to a child of God by the Prince of Peace, by Emmanuel, who was born in the manger of Bethlehem. That is a peace which passeth all understanding. Oh, when the apostle, let us add congregation, when he says be careful for nothing, that does not mean the church is not called, as the apostle Peter has admonished, to make their calling an election, sure. But when we read of the peace of God also in the way of providence, when that people may be given to bow, submit in all the ways, in the ways of prosperity, in the way of affliction, because the Lord has promised that all things shall turn out for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. But now be careful for nothing. Oh, for a child of God at the throne of grace, with that childlike trust, maybe a few souls say, "Ach, Lord, wilt thou give me that childlike trust?" And may it please thee to grant that insurance that I am a child indeed, because I many times have the fears, nothing but unbelief, that I am not thy child, but a child that may be given to trust in their parents. I think, boys and girls, concerning Lord's Day number 10, then I have mentioned for a boy and girl, when your parents may tuck you under the blankets on a cold winter night, and that you may go to sleep trusting, of course, the Lord has to watch over us, but trusting that our parents love and that they shall care for us. Oh, that is that submission, agreeing with the ways of the Lord, in whatever way it may be, that the Lord doeth all things, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And then a further separation. Sometime it can be that you meet people with great trials, with great difficulties, and that they may speak that it is quiet within, that they have peace. But now if you ask that people what is now the ground of that peace, then they do not really have an answer, but they say it is quiet and it is peaceful. I have not so many fears. And to that end, the apostle has added these words of the true peace, peace which passeth all understanding. That is a peace which is granted by grace, shall keep your hearts and minds. Thus that is a peace not outside of our understanding, that the Spirit works in our hearts, and now the ground of that peace. Thus then now in our text, we have heard it last night, a separating text, but now also in our text words, verse 6, it is an exhortation which comes to each and every one of us. But now the separation for that people that have learned and keep your hearts, the church learns, kept by the power of God, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thus the necessity of the church to learn the foundation of that peace, that is the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. He has cried out, "It is finished." He has merited temporal and eternal blessings. And to that end, in verse 4, then He is given to call the church to rejoice, young and old. May that be our concern in this newly begun year. Oh, that He may grant that peace, that we may be reconciled, converted, become a poor sinner. We need to come to a saving knowledge, because I read in John 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." To be careful for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make our needs known unto the Lord. Then the church may sing with David the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Oh, then the church, that faith, a gift of God, such a precious gift. And then the church may be given to look to the storehouses of the greater Joseph. And then they may be given to say what the Apostle Paul has written to this church. "But my God, young and old, he needs to become our God by grace. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of a tender exhortation. A duty commanded and a promise annexed. Precious things indeed. Wilt thou arouse the unconverted to a holy jealousy? And, Lord, for thy children, they can know it, have experienced it in the past, that thou art a wonder-doing God, but they are so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. David has said, "Thou hidest thy face, I am troubled, Lord." May it please thee to grant a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. May thou receive more thanksgiving also in this year. May we be given to bear one another's burdens. Remember all the family circles. Remember the empty places. Watch over us in this day. Bring us together on the Sabbath day. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 247. The stanzas 1, 3, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And what follows, 247, 1, 3, and 6. Thank you.
Prince Adams, on behalf of the consistory, we would like to wish you God's blessing for the year 2020. Although your mother and other relatives do not live here, which is not easy, but the Lord is omnipresent. And we wish also her and them God's blessing in the new year. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth not sorrow with it. It is the first New Year's Day that you are as shepherd and teacher to proclaim the word of God in our midst. We especially hope and pray that there may be fruits seen upon the preaching, fruits worthy of repentance. There can be times that mighty streams of a full transgression seems to have the upper hand, that then all your desires may be from above, because he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He has never turned down the supplication, Psalm 154, 5. Congregation, pray for our minister. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, first verse, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ, that the God of all grace may be near and dear unto you. Congregation, let us rise and sing for our dear minister, Psalm 421, stanzas 5, Psalm 421, stanzas 5, O God, our shield, with face beaming, look on thy servant, holy thine, and keep him, Lord, thou great defender. One day passeth in thy house of praise is better than a thousand days spent in the realm of earthly splendor. Though only at thy door I wait, no tents of sin give joy so great.
Elder DeSmet, we wish to thank you for the kind words which you have spoken on behalf of Consistory Congregation. May the Lord fulfill them. I was planning to close with the text of 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, but Elder DeSmet has quoted it already, but we shall mention it once more. Brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have recourse and be glorified. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.